If you're like me, you could probably think back to your childhood and think of some iconic food, some food brand that really just kind of sums it all up. The food that your mom made, those meals you ate when you came home from school, and I have to say Campbell's soup is really right up there. And for me, it was the tomato soup and grilled cheese sandwiches. I mean, is there a better comfort food than that? So when I think about how food is changing, how cooking is changing, and when I think about Campbell's soup, it's hard for me to put these two thoughts together because Campbell's soup is, to me, this iconic food that really doesn't need to change. But the fact is they are changing. And the woman helping to lead that charge is Jane Fryman, the director of Campbell's Test Kitchen. I got to know Jane a little bit as I asked her to come to speak at the Smart Kitchen Summit. And the more I heard about her story, it just became really intriguing to me how Campbell's is preparing its food and itself for the future of cooking. So that's what we talk about on this podcast. I think you'll find it fascinating. I certainly did. If you want to hear Jane and other leaders talk about the future of food and cooking, come to the Smart Kitchen Summit. It's in 3 weeks. I can't believe it. On October 5th and 6th in Seattle. Go to smartkitchensummit.com. Use the discount code podcast to get 10% off tickets. You also go there to listen to the podcast. You go to smartkitchensummit.com/show. Check it out. You can also read about Jane there. It's been crazy busy. It's been intense, but it's been really fun preparing for the summit, and I hope to see lots of you there. All right, folks, let's talk to Jane. Welcome to the Smart Kitchen Show. My name is Mike Wolf. The Smart Kitchen Show is a podcast about the kitchen, technology, and food, and the story of a conference that brings all those things together. I'm your host, Michael Wolf, and I put this podcast together because in the process of creating the Smart Kitchen Summit, I've been meeting lots of great folks that I thought you should hear from too. If you'd like to listen to more Smart Kitchen shows, you can find them in iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can also go to smartkitchensummit.com/show. The Smart Kitchen Summit will be back in 2016 on October 5th and 6th in Seattle. If you'd like to go, just go to smartkitchensummit.com. for more information. And now, on to the show. Hey, well, I'm really happy to have Jane Fryman, the director of Campbell's Consumer Test Kitchen. How are you doing, Jane?
I'm good, thank you.
You run the consumer test kitchen for Campbell's. Now, what does that mean?
Well, we do a lot of different things in the test kitchen. One of the things is we work closely with our product development teams and chefs as they're developing products. We give them input and insights as the consumer would be using the product and how to help them as they're developing. We also have the fun job of creating content for our products to really help the home cook as they're cooking their meals. So recipes, tips, serving suggestions. And then the part that I love the most is we bring to life our home cook's kitchen reality for the teams. So we have kitchens that look like a home cook's kitchen, and we get to really share this with our teams to help them understand what really people are faced with when they're cooking day in, day out, and it can really help with our development of our products as well as how we communicate to our home cooks.
Now, paint a picture for me of the visual space. I heard maybe you're talking about multiple kitchens, but is this a large facility? Is it something that looks like a consumer kitchen? Paint a picture for me.
Yes. So when you walk into the consumer test kitchen, you'll see six individual kitchens in one big space.
Okay.
And each kitchen has its own personality. And what we've done is by talking to cooks at home, we've understood that there's different styles of cooking, so they each approach cooking very differently. So what we've done is we've brought that to life. So you'll see one kitchen looks very like a traditional sort of home, and you see different nuances within that kitchen. The hardware, you know, the faucets and the cabinets look different from some of the other kitchens. So by doing this, we really can stand in the shoes of our home cooks and really understand what's going on in their head, how they're having to plan meals, what groceries they normally buy, so that we can develop recipes and products that really meet their needs.
So actually having different physical kitchens modeled after maybe a certain type of consumer or whatever, does that actually change how the soup or the product may actually be in the can? Talk a little bit about that.
Well, what it does is it helps us develop products that fit the needs of those different consumers. So maybe some will use a condensed soup. Some may not cook with a condensed soup, but they'll cook with a broth. So it really helps us, and as we're developing even new products, by understanding what the needs are of this user, we can really develop products that fit those needs. So they'll want to try this and use this in their daily repertoire of cooking.
You know, I don't know if there's a consumer product I could think back farther in my life of having tasted. Maybe like Wonder Bread, because I grew up in the 70s, but like Campbell's soup was like right there, right? I mean, grew up on it, grilled cheese sandwiches and Campbell's soup. So it's it's such an iconic food. And so when I think about how technology can change it, I'm like, why would you want to change soup? So talk a little bit about this. I mean, obviously consumer kitchens are changing a little bit. You have this iconic food product across obviously a number of different types of soups and whatever. How are you thinking about how technology can impact the product you deliver?
Well, so think about in what I'm even seeing right now in the change of the world in the marketplace of different items available to the home cook and how they can get food made. So, you know, are they going to be cooking it on top of the stove, or are they going to be using an oven, or is it a slow cooker, or is it a microwave?
Yep.
How are they actually going to be making this? And then watching the technology change, so to even see this guided cooking phenomenon that's happening with appliances like a skillet that's Bluetooth enabled that can walk you step by step in your cooking, it can really help those folks that don't know how to cook but want to learn how to cook and how to create things easily. So you think about even a younger cook that has no experience whatsoever, for them to be able to start out cooking in a foolproof way so you can guarantee that it will come out properly and give them shortcuts. So, for example, using condensed soup to create an easy sauce for them because they might not have the know-how to make something from scratch. Is a great way that we can help them. So it's bringing that technology with what they are currently making.
When you think of soup, when I think of soup, it's this thing in a can I bring home. And I, like you said, you may have multiple ways to heat it up, but it's almost innumerable the amount of ways. So I can microwave it. I can put it in a pot. I mean, is the way in which you guys are maybe holding the hand of people that buy your products through the content side? So maybe it's through recipes, maybe it's through eventually an app. Talk about how you're maybe holding their hand as you know, they bring it in, you're trying to fit the needs of all these different consumers.
Well, sure. So as we understand who we want to talk to, so let's say it is this younger, new starting out cook, we will hold their hand very closely and we will help them through the process of cooking to ensure that they'll have great results. And even as we think about some of our products, for example, our Campbell's sauces, our dinner sauces that we've just launched in the last few years. These are sauces that have all of the flavoring in it. So all you really need to do is brown some meat and pour the sauce over it and simmer it. And you have, you know, a perfect meal that is perfectly seasoned. That's great for that person that just doesn't know how to cook yet. Versus we have other recipes, content, for the more experienced cook. So you may love to cook and you're more of a scratch cook, but you know what? During the week, you don't have the time to spend hours making a complicated dish. You could easily get a meal on the table in 30 minutes using Swanson broth or using our condensed soups in cooking. One of the things is also where we have our content displayed for that type of consumer. So, you know, do we have a website where they can get recipes. We, you know, have Pinterest boards. So we're reaching them wherever they are as well.
Are you guys working with some of the larger sites that have recipes like Yumly and other people where people go to discover how to cook different types of foods?
Yes. So we have a partnership with All Recipes, and right. we have our recipes on that site. We partner with other manufacturers and promote recipes together. We have recipes on retailer sites that we share with them, so as well as social media.
One of the things that I think is interesting when you talk about new technology coming into the kitchen is this idea of the cooking devices understanding the food better. And I know maybe I'll point to Innit as one of those companies who's, you know, early on this space where they're working with, you know, oven manufacturers, et cetera, but also they're working with food manufacturers where, you know, the food folks like, say, Campbell's or a frozen food brand may say, if you have this type of oven, you cook it this long at this temperature. If you have this type of oven from this brand, you might cook at this temperature. So instead of like a brute force, one size fits all, like parameters around time and temperature, you can adjust up based on the different type of equipment. Are you beginning to have those conversations with appliance makers?
Well, I'm really watching that space. Right now, it's still sort of
kind of early.
Small. Yeah, and it isn't as mainstream, because that's really the important thing, is finding these trends and these technology that is at the right time when folks are ready for it and will be using it. So it's at a watching stage right now, because there are a lot of really interesting appliances out there and apps out there that are helping the consumer, but who's using them, you know, how do they work, I think is a really interesting thing for us to understand at this point.
And you also mentioned guided cooking earlier. So you guys are keeping an eye on that trend. We've written about it and talked about it. Are you guys trying any equipment or are you just kind of in the watching stage?
No, actually, I have been getting some of these pieces of equipment, and I have been looking at them in the kitchen, because I'm very curious to see, you know, how they work and, you know, what are they doing for the consumer, you know, that they aren't gimmicky, that they're truly adding a value. So I am looking at them. As a matter of fact, I just saw recently this scale that's called I think it's Perfect Bake. It's a smart scale that really eliminates the use of the need for measuring cups or measuring spoons. That's really very interesting. How can you create, you know, a recipe that they'll know and be able to calculate and have it to be foolproof? So constantly watching these things and getting them in and looking at them.
Yeah, I actually, you know, I know the Perfect Bake, and it's amazing how valuable really connected and monitored scale could be from just a measurement standpoint. And then if you do smart software around that, how you can really guide people. And I think they've done a pretty good job of that. So it's interesting. It sounds like maybe you think it's not too gimmicky. You may actually think it's somewhat useful.
Yeah, I think for, you know, that younger cook that really needs a lot of help, I think these tools might be really right for them and could really help teach a generation how to cook. Now, once they perfect it, how do they ease out of that, and then how do they continue their cooking? That'll be an interesting piece to watch as well.
Yeah, and I think that is an interesting thing you bring up, how you meet all needs. And that may come in the software, but can you take a piece of hardware, take a scale, and meet a wide variety of needs? I think that's going to be a test of some of these things. I think these guys are definitely thinking about that, particularly as people build their skill set. Do they grow out of this type of thing, or can you meet their needs? That's an interesting thing that I'm watching.
Yeah, it's a whole new world out there, and it's fast changing.
Now, you talked a little bit about generational differences, how maybe young cooks may embrace certain types of technologies. Certainly, that's one of the things I would think you guys look at, right? So, you know, as we see the baby boomers age, they're probably fairly fixed in their behavior. I'm part of Gen X. I'm starting to get gray hair. I'm getting a little more stubborn and fixed in my behavior. But millennials are certainly embracing technology. And my understanding is they enjoy cooking and they're very experimental. What are your thoughts around the different generations and their adoption of technology in the kitchen.
Yeah, I think it's very true. The younger cook is very much, you know, into the technology, into the sharing, and I've even see a passion around food way more than I've seen in some of the other generations. It's amazing how quick things will go viral with them and how they'll see something so quickly. It's just the speed of light. The older consumer, the more established family. So the families that, you know, have 6-year-olds and up, they have these needs. They've got lots of stresses in their lives, and, you know, cooking sometimes can be a stress if they're not really enjoying cooking. So seeing how they maybe have just a fewer range of dishes that they make, and they stay to those tried and true, and they'll follow a recipe literally because they don't sometimes have that confidence, to some of the cooks that may have an established family, or they might just be empty nesters that have that passion for cooking, are tech savvy, but they like to do things from scratch. So they're not going to really depend on all these apps. They're going to, you know, create by just the sheer, you know, love of food and seeing the inspiration of the ingredients. But they'll use technology to maybe photograph what they've done and put it on Instagram, or tweet about it. But, they're not as reliant on the, apps of how do I do this. So it's interesting to see the different generation and how the generations will approach cooking, how they'll approach their shortcuts, how they approach sort of the time-starved, you know, not having the time. They all do it a little bit differently, and that's what's so critical for us to understand and for, you know, the teams to understand, because it isn't a one-size-fits-all. And the more you know your target, the more you can develop that ideas or content or products that really fit what they need.
You're right. I think, you know, generationally, even within the generations, it's not one size fits all. I wonder if you guys have developed certain archetypes or profiles of consumers, maybe the busy working parents, the single technology savvy 20-something. Do you guys have certain archetypes around which you develop profiles of behavior around cooking?
Yes. And so, as I had mentioned earlier, we have these 6 kitchens set up.
Okay.
They represent these different styles. And it's not just one-dimensional. It is how they feel about cooking, sort of who is in their family, what's their sort of age range, and it will be a range within each of those sort of segments, but how do they each approach the meal planning, the cooking, the sharing with their family? What families have changed dramatically, through the generations and the size of the families. It's not just, you know, mother and father and 2 children anymore. You know, the size and the makeup of the families changed. So knowing this is really critical, and staying on top of it is really critical. So for us, I mean, we're constantly talking to home cooks. We're constantly asking them questions. What do you have in your pantry? You know, what do you have in your refrigerator? What's your favorite tool? Where are you getting your ideas? Constantly, you know, searching and looking and in stores and online, and, you know, where are these ideas coming from? Talking to chefs, and it's a constant process because people are changing so quickly because of technology changing.
You know, one of the things that I often try to wrestle with, or what I do wrestle with, is what is technology in the kitchen? I mean, I think in one of our early conversations, you mentioned the growing popularity, or almost the viral popularity of the spiralizer. And that to me is like almost like a low tech thing, but it's a new way of maybe making food. So, you know, what do you think of, what is technology to you? Is it just something, a new approach to make things in the kitchen, or does it have to have electronics in it?
No, I don't think it has to have electronics. It is tools, and it is the new things, innovation, that really helps you change the way you're doing something currently. So, for example, the spiralizer, which is so hot right now. I mean, that is just a new way in changing how people think about vegetables or even the types of pasta. They're using these vegetables as pasta, as a replacement for, you know, a traditional pasta. So how that changes in what you see, you know, 2 years ago, if you saw one sort of mini kind of spiralizer that looked like a pencil sharpener, now, I mean, you see wherever you go, the hand crank versions, small versions, large versions, versions that's an attachment, you know, for the KitchenAid. Yeah. It's like all over. It's an explosion of it, which is similar to some of these Bluetooth enabled, you know, tools or these, you know, Wi-Fi enabled tools. It's starting to really, wherever you go, you're starting to see, you know, versions of it. So, technology is wide, you know, sweeping, and I think the innovation that is occurring in the housewares and in the kitchen arena, you know, is really, it's really quickly changing.
So low tech is actually tech, no matter what. One of the things that, you know, you talked about the kind of the explosion of the spiralizer, and it made me think about, you know, we oftentimes have to think about what's driving this. And if you look at just broad ranging, I think macro trends that affect eating, one of them obviously is just the move towards healthier eating, move towards real food. And I think that's part of the foundation of which, like, the success of the, like, the spiralizer, for example, has been built. So you have to look at generational shifts, but also just societal shifts, like the move towards healthier food.
That's one of the trends that is, you know, making that the spiralizers so popular is wanting vegetables to be sort of the center of the plate. Another really big food trend that we've been seeing, and a way of doing that is, you know, creating a new sort of twist on your vegetables, you know, serving them differently and changing that up. And that is really important for us to be aware of, because people are eating differently. You know, not everyone has the ability to, you know, go to a farmer's market, but they want, you know, the fruit and the vegetables, and they want to eat healthier. But how can you help them eat healthier in an easy way? Because they don't have all the time in the world. So, you know, what can we do to help them get these sort of meals done easily?
So I have to ask you, you run the Test Kitchen for maybe one of the most well-known food brands in the U.S., maybe the world. How does one become a director of a Test Kitchen for Campbell Soup?
Lots of hard work. No, I have a true passion for, I'd say, food first and the consumer and the home cook, maybe a tie two of those together, and just, you know, a love for that and to share that with everybody. So I worked my way up. I was developing recipes when I first started here, and now I'm a director.
That's awesome. Hey, Jane, thanks a lot for spending time with me and talking a little bit about what you do.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it.
This Smart Kitchen Show is brought to you by Technology.fm, Next Market Insights, and the Smart Kitchen Summit. All the music for today's show is created by Paul Tyan, T-Y-A-N. Check him out on SoundCloud. You can now find the Smart Kitchen Show on iTunes, or just go to smartkitchensummit.com/show. For Season 2, we hope to bring you lots more stories and different conversations and mix up the format a little bit. So stay tuned. And if you want to come to Smart Kitchen Summit, you know where to go, smartkitchensummit.com.